the beginning was the Word, and it was with God and was God. Before an eye had seen or ear had heard, there was the Word. I know the Bible is God's Word. He's written promises to earth. It is the lamp unto the feet of those who believe in its Word. The Word is perfect truth, and the Word is what I cling to. Unbreakable, unshakable Word of God. I know the Bible is God's Word. His written promises to earth. It is the lamp unto the feet of those who believe in its Word. The God, I love the Word. Page after page, it teaches me, and day after day, it speaks to me and leads me in the ways of righteousness. The Word is perfect truth. The Word is what I cling to. Unbreakable, unshakable of God.
Have your Bible with you here this morning. If you can take it and turn to the book of Psalm 119. We'll be looking there here in just a moment. When I was in college, I remember walking into a children's literature class, walking in the day class after I chose not to attend the previous class, and my professor says, "We are now going to take a test on the book that I assigned you to read during your last class, a book that I had no idea we were supposed to read and a book that I had never read." So I got the test and looked at it, and nothing on it looked familiar at all. I knew none of the names, nothing about it. So I wrote my name at the top of the test and went ahead and turned it in. Now, I doubt this book would have been life-changing, but I have no idea. I would give you a critique on the book, but to this day, I have actually never read it, and I couldn't even tell you what the book was, but I didn't read that book. When it comes to the Bible, there are many people who have never read it, but they sure don't mind giving you a critique of it. They don't mind telling you their opinion of it. There are those that try to figure out how to live in God's world without having any idea what God's Word actually says. We have a Bible that gives us direction, but there are so many that are trying to look for directions and not looking for it in the way that it is. And then there are some that have read the book. They have read God's Word, and they still decide not to follow it. They know what it says, but they choose to live differently. And then there are those that take God's Word, and they apply it. And God's Word must be applied in our life. The Scriptures, they contain a lot of knowledge. You can learn a lot about reading by reading the Scriptures. You can learn a lot about the history of Israel. And you can read and learn about how God worked with His people. And you can read about God's commandments and His directives and things that we ought to help us know how to live. And we can read the Bible and we can learn about Jesus and how Jesus died and why that He died. And the Bible can tell us lots of things. But just because the Bible tells us stuff doesn't mean that we're wise enough to actually use the things that we see in Scripture. Knowledge has to be something that impacts our lives to become wisdom. In James 2, 17 through 20, it says this, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" See, in the context of this, James is saying to his readers, he says, look, you have to actively live out what you know to be true. Having faith is an issue of knowledge, but wisdom is when we take that faith that we have and we put it into practice in our life. James says, look, you may believe that there's a God. Well, good for you. Lots of people believe there's God. You may believe in one God, but good for you. Even the demons obey this. They have knowledge, but they're not wise. Wisdom means we take that knowledge and we apply it. As we look here this morning, we need to look at the importance of taking God's Word, the Word of God, the living Word of God, and making it real in our life. And I've heard the illustration that soap in a package cleans nothing. It doesn't make any difference how much we believe that the soap can clean. If we never take it out of the package and use it, it's just a bar of soap in a package. And God's Word, if it's never applied to our life, it's useless to us. It makes no difference to us unless we apply it. So let's read together Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your words. As we begin looking at this passage here, let's look at the word blessed. How blessed are those? That word blessed, oftentimes we want to look at it as happy, and we substitute happy in there. You know, happy, how happy are those whose way is blameless? But this is much, much more than happiness. This isn't just about being happy. Being blessed, it has a deep, deep meaning. It means that we have a life filled with contentment that only comes from God. It means that we live a life that has meaning and it has purpose. That's what it means to be blessed. Too often we want God's blessings without doing anything in return, without living for Him. We sing, you know, God bless America. And we'll take that same slogan and we'll slap it on a bumper sticker and put it on the back of our car. And we say, God, please bless us. But we don't want to have to live our life for Him. We just want to receive His blessings. And this passage, we look at that idea of blessing, and it says, who is blessed? It says, those whose way is blameless, those who walk in the law of the Lord, those who seek Him wholeheartedly. See, the blessed life is for the one who follows God. It's for the one who keeps His commandments. I had a person tell me a few years ago that I live a blessed life, that nothing ever bad ever happens to me, and that God likes me, God loves me more than God loved them. And that's only partially true. You know, I do live a blessed life. I really do. I have a wonderful family whom I love. I have a great job that I love going to, even though I don't get to play nearly as much Frisbee as I used to play. I still enjoy what I do. I have great friends. I really do live a blessed life. But God doesn't love me more than He loves them. See, the difference is that in my life, I strive to serve God in my life, and that person I was talking to had no desire for God in their life. See, the blessing in life sometimes comes because we see things differently. We have a different view of life. When I look at God's Word and I apply God's Word to life, my whole outlook is different. That way, when bad things seem to be happening to me, my response to those things is different. Look, bad things happen. I go through the same things everybody else does. But my response is different because I'm walking in His ways and trying to serve God. See, my goal in life is to put into practice the things that I see in Scripture. My goal in life is to understand Scripture, and I want to succeed in that. But, you know, I don't always do that. Sometimes I look at God's Word and I try to put it into practice and I struggle and I fail, but it's always my goal to seek Him with all of my heart. How do I find God? How do I know what God wants? Well, it starts here in His Word. It starts with looking at His Word. We can't know God apart from His Word. The Bible tells us who God is. The Bible tells us what He is like. The Bible tells us how God interacts with us. And the Bible tells us what God requires of me. And if we don't know God's Word, we don't know any of that. We're just guessing at who God is. We're just guessing at what God wants, and we're guessing at what He requires. And we can go through life just guessing, and we're trying to play this game with God. And God says, look, it's right here. It's in your Word, and you can live by my Word. And it says in verse 1, if you live in His Word, blessed are those whose way is blameless. If you do this, we can live blameless. Blameless doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean that we live sinless. It means that we're free from the blame, from the guilt of sin. For those who seek after the Lord in Christ, we're blameless because the blood of Jesus on the cross paid for the penalty of our sin. It doesn't mean that we're without sin, but it means that we're not held to the blame for our sin. It means that the wages of sin that is death no longer applies to us because we have the free gift that comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We live blameless. And how do we experience this freedom from sin? Well, the psalmist speaks to those who keep His precepts. Those who keep it, the verb here, keep. It means that we claim God's commandments as our own. That we live His life as our own. That we make following God a personal decision in our life. It's not a time when we're 5 or 6 years old, we make a profession of faith and say, okay, now I'm good. But we decide every single day that I'm going to make a profession to follow Him with all that I am. That is a focus and determination in our life. It says in verse 4 to be diligent, tenacity, keeping the precepts, wanting to do that. It's a focus of our life and persevere. The psalmist here says, my ways, he's speaking about his walk and his life and his actions and his choices and his thoughts and his desires. He says, everything that I am, everything that I want to be, my entire life is about who God is. And the psalmist says that is the person who can live in freedom. That's a person who can live blameless because they take God's word and they live in that freedom and they can live unashamed by keeping His commandments and understanding God. Look, we can understand His forgiveness. Truly understanding His forgiveness helps us to live unashamed. He took away our sin. Understanding that God has desires that are much, much greater than our desires. God has desires that are much, much more than ours. When we realize that things that we have heard about God from this world maybe aren't necessarily true. So many times the church tries to look at what the world says about God and they get confused about what the Bible says about God. And we look at God's Word and we realize that, look, there are things that aren't true. We realize that, look, there's a God that we can trust in. The world says that your God can't be trusted. The Bible says that we have a God that you can put your trust in. When we live here in the unashamed life, we learn to live to be thankful instead of resentful. When we live this life, his commandments are no longer a burden to us, but a joy. Now, the world tells us that Christians have no fun. The world tells us that you have all these rules that you have to obey. And you're just sitting there and you got this God who's this big mean person who's making you do all these things that you don't want to do. And as a Christian who's looking at God's word and living his word, we realize that we're not obeying a bunch of commandments to obey commandments. It's no longer a burden to us. It's a joy because we have a love relationship with God. And then when we fail, and you will fail, and I will fail, then we can trust in his mercy and his grace. When we fail, we have his mercy and grace. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that when I let God down, that God is not up there just up there going, man, I can't wait for you to mess up so I can just whack you. I can't wait for you to mess up so I can punish you and discipline you. God's up there and he says, look, my mercy and my grace have covered you. Live an unashamed life. And I'm so thankful that the Bible tells us that we will not be forsaken, that God will never leave you. If you had people in your life who have left you, people in your life who have let you down, people in your life that when you struggle, they walk away from you, God's word says there's a God who will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is with you always. And we know that God through his word. And we see that word of God keeps us pure. Let's look at verses 9 through 13. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. So how can I practically live this pure life? How can I practically live in the will of God? You know, there are two ways that we can describe the ultimate goal of life. And one of those ways is positive and the other one is negative. We can say the positive way, the goal of life is to glorify God in all that we are. That sounds good. Or you can say it this way. You can say the goal of life is to not sin. Well, that sounds horrible. Now, I've known people who have tried to not sin. And they said, I have this sin in my life, and I'm not going to do this sin anymore. And so all their focus is on that sin, and they're miserable. Because whenever you focus all on your sin, that's in your mind, you're going to do that sin because you're focused on it. And that's all you're thinking about it. And then you fail, and then when you fail, you're miserable because you can't do it. And if the goal of life is to not sin, you're going to struggle if that's the way you look at it. But the goal of life is to glorify God. Similar meetings, but glorifying God embraces the things that are enjoyable. You know, I've never met anyone who's found joy when they focused on their sin. Joy comes from him. When we seek things, we seek God, things change in our life. And we see again here, this begins in his word. And the context of what we're reading here is the psalmist writes. He's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the books of Moses. He's talking about the writing of the prophets. Those are the things that the psalmist is writing about. But we, when we look at God's word, we can take this and apply it to all of God's word. And the psalmist says the importance of God's word. He says, do not let me wander from your commandments. In verse 12, he says, blessed are you, teach me your statutes. In verse 13, with my lips I have told all the ordinances of your mouth. And in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of the testimonies. In verse 15, I will meditate on the precepts. I really believe that we can live in a right relationship with God, and this should be our heart's desire. In verse 10, it says, with our heart relates to keeping his commandments. And in verse 11, he says, in my heart, in my heart. See, the psalmist says this just isn't on a tablet that's written down that I pull out. The psalmist says God's word isn't something that when I need something from God, I take God's word and I pull it out and then I read it. And then when I'm done with God, I can close it back up and put it away. So God's word isn't something that should be a book that we just pull out that sits on our shelf or on our nightstand. And whenever we feel like we need it, we grab it. Whenever it feels like we should get something from God, we look at his word. But it says it should be something that is in our heart. It's treasured in our heart. The heart in the Old Testament is a place of both thinking and feeling. These words of God should be placed in a place where we think them and we feel them. And they're part of us every day. It says in this passage, the word of God is something we've treasured. treasure them in your heart. That word treasure is used more than 30 times in the Old Testament. And it denotes a meaning of hiding or storing something of value. Hiding or storing something of value. That word I've treasured, I've hidden it. I've taken it and I've stored it in my heart because it has value in my heart. It's like a treasure. And his teaching says that one of the ways that we can keep from sinning, one of the ways we can walk with the Lord and be in his relationship with him is by keeping this in our heart, stored and hidden there. And then we can have a right relationship with God. And this brings us joy, true joy. The last part of this passage in verses 14 through 16 say, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Joy. There's nothing greater than the joy of a relationship with God. Meditating on precepts. I really believe that scripture memory is life-changing. I have been with people that have studied scripture and memorized scripture, and I have seen the study of scripture and the memorizing of scripture really transform a person's life from the inside outside. As they meditate on scripture, as they spend time looking at his word, and look, you can memorize scripture. I know sometimes we think that we can, and scripture memory is hard. And I remember having a conversation with my grandfather, who was a very wise man. And as we were talking, I had no problem as a kid memorizing baseball stats. I could tell you about any baseball stat there was. As we were having a conversation about algebra one time and how I couldn't memorize the formulas, and then that conversation turned to Bible stuff, and my grandfather was looking at me and he says, hey, Ed, what's the batting average of so-and-so? And I told him, and he says, how many wins does such-and-such team have? And I told him, and he says, who's the home run leader? And I told him that, and he says, Ed, I think there's an issue here. I don't think you have a memorizing problem. I think you have a priority problem. See, I think we have a priority problem. We can memorize scripture. I bet that if I told you this morning that I would offer you $1,000 for every verse that you can memorize in the next week, you would come back next week with a bunch of verses memorized to grab that $1,000 for each verse. I don't think you'd have any issue memorizing scripture. The Bible tells us that Scripture, God's Word, in Psalm 19, it says, it's more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. See, the real value of God's Word is worth much more than the $1,000 that I would give you for each verse that you memorized. Do we believe that? Do you really believe in the value of God's Word? As we're sitting here today, you know, we have brothers and sisters in Christ all over our world who are in persecution, and we have some who are in prison, and God's Word is taken away from them. And although they don't have the Bible, they have God's Word. They have God's Word because they've memorized it, and they have God's Word because they've made it a part of who it is, and they've treasured it in their heart. And when the Bible is taken away from them, God's Word is not taken away from them. That's the real value. Look, our children, they memorize Scripture. And that task of memorizing Scripture, it's not beneath us. It's not just for our children. You know, Jesus, he memorized Scripture. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was being tempted, and he was there with the devil tempting him, you know, Jesus didn't have the Bible to go grab. He didn't have a library to go look at. Jesus didn't pull out his phone and Google right responses to Satan when he's tempting you. Right? He didn't have any of those things. He memorized Scripture. I really know that speaking for me, maybe speaking for you, I've gotten a little lazy. Because if I can't find something, I'll just pull out my phone and look it up real quick. Take time to memorize that Scripture. And then we can know we can live in confidence. That's a strong statement to say we can live in confidence, because really in our world, there's not a lot to be confident in. There's a lot of things that are ever changing, but we can have confidence. We can have confidence knowing that I am blessed if my ways are blameless, that I can be blameless by walking in the ways of the Lord. I can be confident that wholehearted obedience is necessary for blessing. I can be confident that there's no unrighteousness in God's ways. I can be confident that I can keep his word diligently and his word cannot be ignored. I can be confident that obedience brings freedom in my life. And I can be confident that God will not forsake me as one of his children. I can live in confidence. But you know, there's no confidence when we try to do things ourselves. There's no confidence when we think we can get blessings from God doing whatever we want. There's no confidence when we think that my ways are better than God's ways. There's no confidence when we pretend to live a godly life when we're not. There's no confidence when we think that we can do a little sin and we can live for God in one way and hold on to some sin. There's no confidence in that. There's no confidence when we say, I'm going to obey God when it's convenient for me. There's no confidence when we think that we should live shame-free when we're living in shame and refuse to accept God's forgiveness. There's no confidence in that. As we look this morning at God's Word, this comes from some real experience in my life. When I was a child, I grew up in a church, and I sat through all the Sunday school classes, and I did all these things, and God's Word wasn't really real to me. And it wasn't until I got to college and really started to read God's Word. For one thing, it was the first time that I realized there was something besides a King James Bible. And maybe some of you are smarter than me, and reading King James is easy. It was hard for me. And I found this Bible in the bookstore, and I actually had that Bible right here. This is the Bible I picked up in college. And this Bible became real to me, and I began to read it. And as you can see, I had to get a second Bible because this one's kind of falling apart, and the pages are coming out. And it's all underlined in and written in. As I read things, I made notes. And it became so, so important to me. And as I was preparing this sermon, and I was thinking about this Bible, I pulled it out and was kind of looking through it. And there's this quote in here that I have no idea who said it. Obviously, it was really important because I wrote it in my Bible. But it says this: the conversion of the soul is the miracle of a moment, but the manufacturing of a saint is a process of a lifetime. You know, none of us have arrived. As we look at through these things, we continue to work out our salvation. We continue to work out our relationship with God. None of us have arrived. If you've accepted Christ, you've had the moment of conversion. But the process is a lifetime process that we continue to go through. And so for me, it's still a process. For me, I'm still working out the process of living for the Lord. For you, we are still living out that process. So how do we respond to what God would have for us? And how do we respond to His Word? As we close our time, let me invite you to consider God's Word. To really be honest with yourself. How much time do you truly spend in this Word? How much do you really treasure it? How important is it to you? And as you're being honest with yourself, ask God to reveal what you need to do in your life. Like I said, none of us have arrived. We're all going through the process of God continuing to work in our lives, taking us to a place that He wants us to be. And some of us are going through that process willingly, and some of us are bucking God every step of the way. Are we willing to follow Him, to read His Word, to love His Word, and to accept what He'd have for us? That's the invitation here today.